The following is from Ghost Coast Studios, the world's first and only podcast network.
I just want to say, Owen Hart did nothing wrong.
Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrick Taylor, she, they, am doing a rewatch of the Monday Night Wars and continuing to make it everyone else's problem, too. At the same time, sharing is caring. This week's esteemed victim is...
Owen Hart. No, it's me. It's Kennedy Cooper. You knew it wasn't Owen Hart.
You see, the thing that's great, though, is that Owen would have fucking loved the fact that that's where you went. He would be like, no, go with it. Yes, and. Yes, and. Or whatever the Canadian version of yes, and is. I've had so many, like stealth Canadian guests. I've told people, you have to tell me or it's entrapment. But
yeah, it's not right.
It's certainly not right.
Especially because, you know, now with the current situation, it could be considered a national security risk.
Oh, shit. That's
Canadian
right.
Guests on, you know.
Oh, my God. Liz Shark Queen, I'm sorry, but you've become problematic. I know you live in California now, but, like, you're a lady that says a boot, and now that's a problem.
Yeah. You live in California now, but where are your loyalties, really?
Is it Hollywood, or is it
the maple leaf?
I was gonna say, is it Hollywood or maple syrup? Come on now. We can't go too hard because I just realized we got the new podcast host. We should tell people, hi, Kennedy Cooper, ship poster, podcaster, fellow Ghost Coast Network person with a new show, which is part of why I wanted to bring you on here. But we could talk more about that later.
I'm here with something to promote today, which is that NCAA President Charlie Baker's address.
Oh, God damn it. I'm probably going to have to censor that for my own mental health. But that's okay. We can.
Will you like bleep it though? So it's funny.
Yes, so of course. I have a special button just for it. I got.
And then just leave in Massachusetts.
Yeah. Oh no! I laughed so hard I pulled my fucking headphones out. Oh no! Oh, we're a podcasting mess. Oh God damn it! I'm laughing so hard I can't remember what the fuck I was gonna say. Point B.
I'm sorry, I'm real out of pocket lately. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Shit's happening. Shit just keeps happening.
That's how I'm coping.
Yeah, it's being a little more out of pocket than usual. Holy hell. Oh my God. Well, space. I don't know where we were, but we're here now. It's Raw only this week. No Nitro.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
I will say, okay, to kick this off, I've been on a couple of eps now.
No, you are our second three-peat guest.
I'm a three-peat. I was You're like, a I three-er. Feel like this is my third time, but also watching this stuff barrages your brain in this way that it is. I'm like, I might have been on this show 2 or 8 times. I'm not really sure.
No, you are my ultimate. You are my ultimate Joel. You are my ultimate test subject of, like, I just occasionally sit you down and experiment on you. Former guest and friend of the pod, if you will, Sawyer also has brought back their show, International Object, which is, I mean, that's just funny, and had a former guest on there. I'm going to be on there as well. And they talked about how great this show is because it's just like, I just bring like people on who are like journalists, people who have like degrees in things and shit of that nature. And I make them watch squash matches on Nitro. And like, it's just a wonderful, and I see what that does to various brains. So like,
it's
thank you.
Good. It's no. not good what you're doing to people.
Well, we got to be careful. I remember we got to be careful because like we got that new podcasting host that tells you where people are that listen. And we got a lot of Canada. So
I'm going to talk some more shit about Canada. So if that's going to offend you, just turn the show off.
And I'm going to allow it to happen because I want the prophecy to be fulfilled. Y'all should bomb the Baldwins. I'm just saying, I was promised this as a child and it warped my fragile little mind. So speaking again, segueing for a second time of warping fragile little minds, Raw. we start off with Yoko versus Vader, the match that I wanted for WrestleMania. And I think the match that was supposed to be Vader's first big feud. But when he came back, he had got injured like right away, right after debuting.
Oh yeah, but I wanted to say, I'm sorry.
No, please.
But before we got distracted by me being a three-peat guest and then falling down some rabbit holes, all that. I was gonna say that, you know, when I first started watching Raw, I was like, this fucking sucks. Now that I'm a little further in, I'm starting to see how Raw could have won the wrestling war.
Yeah,
like it's starting to make more sense.
You're coming
not
around.
Because it's great, but because it's, I don't know,
it's something.
It's more of the stuff.
Yes, it's more concentrated, the stuff, and like it's new, different things. Like, I don't think we had a Vader when you were here last. Like, maybe I can't remember last time you were here. We might have had
it. It was hinted at the last time I was here, but
yeah, you're like pre-Rumble. Yeah, that makes sense.
They were like talking about, hey, Vader. And I was like, why is there a guy named Darth Vader?
Oh my god. See, the fun bit of that is like the people who came out. I think he got that name. I think it was because first he wrestled in Germany and then he got big in Japan. So I think it was Vader was like literally because like Vader is just father, you know, so like I think they were trying to like get away with that. And then they went to Japan. And it's like, well, we got to call him Vader, you know, like Vader. And then they tried to like, I forget, there's this convoluted thing where they tried to come up with this reasoning that actually it was like an ancient Japanese cultural thing, but I'm pretty sure it was bullshit because they just didn't want to get in trouble for using the name Vader. It's Vader. Like, you know what you're doing. Like, this is wrestling. We know what this is. you got a Vader now. Things have been happening since last time.
Yeah, they were really going for some gimmicks this time.
Really leaning into shit. In a
like, something I noticed is, like, we're getting into the era where Vince McMahon starts to inflate everyone's weight and height just...
even more than before.
To incredible new levels. Like, when Yokozuna and Vader get in the ring, he's like, Yokozuna at 650 pounds! Like, dude, what are you talking about?
There's no fucking way. Like, there's no fucking way. I mean, Rodney was a big, big American. But, like, there's no fucking way he was doing that shit. He did not pick up Big Van fucking Vader and Samoan drop him like right in the beginning of this match.
I admit it's not like a crazy exact. It's not like he added like 200 pounds to it. You know, like Yokozuna. What I think
he was pretty big, but I think at 650, I would give him 550. I think
like 550 or so is probably more realistic.
Which is still Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Huge dude. But yeah, just Just immediate, like, I feel like the first Raw I watched, there was, like, he wasn't really doing it to that level, you know?
Yeah.
But then this time, he's like, Yokozuna at 650 pounds, Vader at 450 pounds. And it's like, neither of these guys weigh quite as much as you're saying. Like,
yeah,
you're adding, like, 50 to 100 pounds to each of these guys.
Yeah, no, like, I think Vader may be cracking 400. And is this still where he's mostly muscle? Like, he hasn't gotten to be, like, fat Vader. That being said, we are going to get to the point where these are the two guys that they send to, like, basically fat camp because, like, they were getting so big and their levels were so off that they weren't going to be able to get licensed by athletic commissions. And, like, they were, like, going to not be able to work because they were so big. And I guess as the story goes, this, you know, representation matters, folks, now more than ever. And I got to tell you, these guys make me feel fucking seen. Because they became buddies because the company made them go to a fat camp. And they just snuck off, fucked off, and got KFC. And I got to tell you, that is what I would have done. Like I like to be seen on television like this. And for me, representation includes the Mastodon, Leon White, Vader. And that's just, you know, everyone has a different swing, you know. We got to let go. Just let go. I'm floundering here because it's been a fucking hell of a 2 weeks.
Yeah, but honestly, if you told me that Vader was 300 pounds, I would find that a lot more believable.
Yeah. And he's like, also like a tall guy, so I could give him 400 because
I've known guys like that. Like, I just don't buy it. Like, I just... you know, one of my good friends in high school was like 6'4" something, or
yeah,
6'3", huge dude who wrestled and played football. And the funny thing too is that in his family, he was everybody made fun of him. He was the little one. Even his mom was taller than him.
That's wild.
Yeah, but at school, we were all like, this guy can destroy anyone. What are you talking about?
I knew a couple kids like that. Like, you know, like people freak out when they see like Brock Lesnar and shit like that. But I went to high school with a couple of guys that like they weren't necessarily the size like pumped out as Brock Lesnar because I don't think they did as much steroids. But like they have that same general like physique. And like these are the guys who would just show up with like sandwich bread bags full of sandwiches. Like they turn the whole loaf into various sandwiches and they just eat them throughout the day. Because as soon as school's done, he's going to
Thanksgiving at his house was lit. I went to that a couple of years.
Imagine how many turkeys, like three. You know, like he's gonna get one of them.
You know what I remember the most clearly though was just the they had a huge fancy fucking fondue fountain.
Oh hell yeah.
Who doesn't love that at a thing like that, you know?
No, I want some flowing cheese. I want absolutely. This is a holiday, goddammit.
Fondue at a restaurant sketches me out, or with too many strangers, but like a smallish, like small to medium-ish, like family event where it's like basically known entity types.
Yes.
A fondue fountain choice.
Fucking, I know that pre-COVID we went to one buffet place one time that had a fucking chocolate fountain, and like we took the kid there and just blew kiddo's mind. like you can take any number of these things and just stick them in there. What? Like, yeah, greatest thing ever. Go to town.
What do you want to taste chocolate on today?
Yeah. I'm doing pineapples and marshmallows and shit. This is like, I think this is cheesecake. Stick it in the
oh mountain. Man, we put chocolate on everything. Turkey.
Like that all that sketch with Keaton Thompson, like fucking just like they cook everything with chocolate. Yeah, exactly. That no, let's go. Let's do that. That makes sense.
All right, I think we're supposed to be talking about wrestling, but I'm pretty high.
I was gonna say the point of us talking about all this food, Vader and Yoko, big guys.
not as big as claimed. And the thing is like even if you can't even You just have to guess with your eye looking at these fellas, right? Because they, if you look this up online, they'll say, you know, it'll say
500 pounds. Yeah,
500 pounds and 6'8". And you're just looking at this guy going, that's not real.
That's not
but
true.
It's a part of their brand, so they can't betray that.
Also, it's early unreality, because that's where this shit comes from, is like literally kayfabe. It's just like, you don't know. Like, unless you're there, like, because you can only know a lot of this is going, you know, like, this practice starts pre-internet. So it's like, these guys are as tall and as heavy as I fucking say they are, damn it. And like, that's kind of what you got to take it. So yes, more about the actual wrestling. Not the actual wrestling. I should say Jerry Lawler is not on commentary, which is fucking awesome. We get Mr. Perfect instead. Hell of a wrestler. One of my favorite dropping commentators ever, and a friend of Bobby Heenan. So it's like, thank fuck. Yeah. There's no Nitro this week, but we still get a Bobby Light.
This guy brought pretty good commentary, I thought.
Oh, yeah. He is a much better heel commentator than Jerry fucking Lawler. Like, ugh.
Yeah. Jerry Lawler, annoying. Just sucks.
Just said there's not much to say about it. God, just sucks. Just fucking hate. Did they mention their high, folks? Hey, it's like I say, I just sticking out with she sucks, and we haven't even gotten to his match yet, because that's why he's got a.
I know, that's why I'm just like I'm mulling over what to say, is because I'm like, we're gonna talk about him a lot more in a few minutes.
Yeah, and I don't want that. So like, more importantly, there's other historic things here, in that Vince lets us know that this is going to be a thing that happens now. He talked to USA Network, and they're going to let us start 3 minutes earlier every week. Now, if that sounds weird and petty and strange, that's because it is. This is a thing on the Monday Night Wars. Nitro and Raw start to, like, try to start before each other more and more every week, and they've been doing it, but they haven't been talking about it. It's just a thing that they've been doing. So now, of course, Vince is like, I see. I'm better than you. 3 minutes. Suck it. Like he's, oh my God. And we are well on our way to this podcast getting harder to book, because these shows are going to become 2 hours long each. And I've got to ask people to watch 4 hours of wrestling. And that feels like a big ask. Yeah. You know, like, the 2 hours, not that hard.
You might have to like break it up or something a little bit.
That's getting rough.
I don't know what you're going to do at that point.
Oh,
I just had to watch this one thing to be on here today, which is like I got the easy ticket.
I'm going to bring you on for the first 2 hour Raw just to watch.
Oh, I deserve that, I guess.
Yeah. psychic damage.
Speaking of psychic damage, that's what happens to Yokozuna's leg.
Yeah, I was just gonna thank you for picking up that setup, because I was like, I gotta say something about damage, because this guy gets fucked up. So this match ends with a kayfabe injury. Vader bombs Yoko's leg, and it almost sounds like Vince smacks the mic at the moment of impact, like he did a quick and dirty Foley work to make it sound like his leg broke.
Honestly,
so
I didn't even hear the sound.
I only heard it because I watched this twice for some reason.
Just like in all the commotion, they were like, oh, did you hear that pop of his leg? I was like, fuck no, I didn't. What are you talking about? like
exactly.
All I could hear was like the crowd cheering and the referee fucking shouting shit at them. And
the bell ringing.
Flame sounds, you know.
exactly, but that's why they mentioned it like four times, because it didn't exist. So they have to really, it's the prestige, god damn it.
It's that kind of thing that, you know, it's that type of thing where, and I'm not trying to say anything about wrestling fans in particular, this is like almost any group of people is kind of susceptible to this at times, especially like if you're just really determined to, like, just Like, you really just don't want to seem like a fool ever, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, after the show, people be, oh, I heard the pop. I heard the pop. And it's like, they didn't hear it, you know? But, like, they don't want to seem like, people ask, did you hear the pop? Oh, yeah, I heard it. You know?
Right. So. And if you were at home, you probably did, because he totally, like, smacked the mic or something. It was, like, a really weird, and it was like, okay, I see what you did there.
Like, or I think maybe the ref did something.
Or something. Like, they did. Well, it's like when you slap your thigh on a super kick. Like, I don't know. I've kicked someone in the face before. It doesn't make a slap sound. So I don't know where they got that from.
Those refs, the unsung heroes of wrestling. And the way the ref was stand in terms of just, you know, they're doing lots of stuff to maintain the kayfabe all the time that they're basically orchestrating it. You would miss some of the shit that they're doing because
they're keeping time. Even they're letting them know you got this much time left to kill, basically.
You can sometimes catch some of the hand signs when they're like, okay, speed it up, or okay, you know, you've got a little time to kill her.
Yeah, you especially know. Now in modern times, you get a lot because the mics are better on HD cameras and shit, so you hear them talking all the time. I fucking love it. Some people hate it, but I'm like, nah, dude, you're just a crotchety old man. You're just like, it should be more. I'm like, no, I love hearing guys spots to each other. It makes me pop every time. I'm like, yeah, it's fake. Fuck yeah.
Occasionally you hear them whisper something to each other.
Oh, yeah, that was part of the fun of it. Like,
but I just mentioned this in particular because the ref was kind of standing in a funny spot when it happened. So and I'm like, he was pretty obscured to both the audience and the camera at that moment.
Funny. You know? Wonder what that was.
Did he just do the old trick of put your finger in your mouth and make that little
They could have got all out and got like gone to the auxiliary percussion of the raw band and gotten like the slap, you know, like the just two pieces of wood, smack them together.
Yeah, like, or this is the '90s. Maybe he had one of those poppers in his pocket, you know.
I am sure there are plenty of guys in the back who had poppers in their pocket, but that's an entirely different
thing. No, not that kind. You know those things that it was like you'd like push it. It was like a half.
Push
it, and then it would go like jump up in the air. Like the ref just had one of those in his pocket.
He'd gone to a church fair earlier that day. Yes, exactly. So he had traded a couple tickets. More importantly, they end the match. Here's the thing that gets me though. They give Vader the win, which seems kind of unfair. Like, when you go no contest, if he's too injured to keep going, they straight up give it to him. Like, what's stopping him from going, oh, so I just got to injure the fuck out of every opponent from here on out in the future. And it's Vader time all the time. Like, what?
I mean,
what?
It felt like, you know, they want to build up his villain power.
Oh yeah, but I mean,
in order to do that, they've got to just hand him this thing, and you know, just make it easy. Everybody loves a dirty win for a villain, so you know that's par for the course.
Exactly. Like,
the refs always call for the villains at goofball times, and that's just what we're here for, you know. So,
but of course,
surprising. But oh my god, I loved how far they took this bit, although arguably some of it is offensive.
I was gonna say, so here's what the problem is though, because like they go to, it's a great, like I agree with everything you're saying, and then
it's not even really arguable, just some of it is offensive.
It's offensive, but also to your point, and to the point of like, all of this is what you're saying is great. Yes, but what WWE always does is they go like, awesome, we found that line. Now, when we come back from commercial, we're going to cross that line. So, like, that's what they do every fucking time. So, like, they bring out the stretcher for Yoko, right? Because it's Yoko, and we love him, and he's hurt, so we got to get him out. They come back from commercial, and once again, it's time to fat joke on Yoko. They can't get him on the stretcher, so they bring out a forklift. And I refuse to believe that Pat Patterson is forklift certified. No. No.
This is outrageous fucking part of this. But what I love is just, you know, for the rest of the show, there's just this recurring bit where Vader just attacks Yokozuna's leg again.
Yep, I was going to say, because like he comes back at one point later. We'll talk about it now. We can skip it later. But at one point, they come back from commercial later, and it's like, here's Yoko, poor Rodney, continuing to sell like he's going for the Emmy, getting put into an ambulance. And then, yeah, Vader just comes out and hits him in the leg with a chair again. It's just like, all right, we want you to really understand this guy's a piece of shit. Slick back hair, sloppy wet steaks. This guy fucking sucks. So, like, we got it. We understand Vader is the bad guy. Because he thinks we're all stupid. So Vince gets in the fucking ring, which is like, okay, yay, this is great. He says he's back, and then almost as though he's literally talking to Bischoff and Hulk Hogan over at WCW, says, wait till you hear this reaction, fuckers. The Ultimate Warrior! And everyone goes off. They're like, everyone loses their shit. Kennedy, you got... I'm sorry. This is its own content warning. You got the Ultimate Warrior with a mic in his hand. I'm sorry. Welcome.
welcome how back, you feeling? Ultimate Warrior, after being fired for failing a drug test.
No. Even better. He didn't fail the drug test. He refused to take it.
Oh, damn.
He just straight up said no. And it's like, well, we're going to have to fire you. Then I'm fired. So, yes, welcome back after being hated.
I'm not a medical doctor of any kind, but, you know, a guy who refused a drug test and got fired from the WWF, who died of a heart attack young. You put it together.
He was perfectly fine.
Oh, and acts
fine.
Like a maniac when he's on stage.
Well, yeah, he runs out blowing air and shaking the ropes, like, ready to kick ass, but it's for an interview. And it's like, what are you doing? You don't have to run out. Like, he only has the one trick. So, like...
Okay, but to be fair, I've watched a couple of, like, debut-type things now.
Yeah, you have seen a few.
This was not the worst.
Well, yeah, and it's a re-debut.
Like, he had energy, you know, he did seem to want to be there and to, like, bring some kind of passion to being there that was, like, not insignificant.
No,
you know?
Sure, and so, the, like, people are happy to see him, like, so, like, no, and he's a former WWE champ, so, like, it is a big deal. However, Mr. Perfect on commentary decides he's going to be the voice of the entire locker room. He says, what is everyone seeing this guy? Which is just the realest thing Kurt Hennig has ever fucking said. Because, like, everybody hated working with the Warrior. Like, he just was not good at what he did. And he's great for business, and he's great for the entertainment of it all. Because, like, look at him. But, like, he was not a good wrestler.
Yeah, I did like whatever exactly was going on with his face.
Yeah, good makeup tonight. He looked like a, almost like a stained glass, like, Warrior makeup. It was really great. Now it's this wonderful thing.
I don't know how to quantify or describe it exactly, but, you know, he had a kind of a cool look. He brought some energy to it.
He's tassely. We like
it would have been better if they had let him speak less.
Yeah, but he's here for an interview. Like, Warrior is better when he's speaking less. But Vince asks him, where has he been these 3 years since you decided not to take a drug test?
And Mr. Perfect says, Montana, that's where all the lunatics are.
Again, it's like we got our own special Heenan just for Raw this week. Like, it's baby Heenan. It's so good. But Warrior goes full Liver King. He's like, I go where all men go, where they are entitled to go, deep, deep, deep in the mind, and the voices don't die, and the spirit of the Warrior. And somewhere a Manosphere YouTuber is just jerking off furiously. it's just a weird shit. And then we get the gay hero and hot wife. Goldust comes out because he's like, this sounds gay, I'm in. Because, of course, So, like, Warrior's all disgusted.
It was funny, too, because I was already getting gay vibes from the Warrior. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, Goldust is coming out. Perfect.
Exactly. This works. A man who famously said queer and don't make the world work. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a great time. I didn't know. I had memory hold this. I didn't realize that Warrior and Goldust had a little program here. I imagine this makes is a punishment, sense.
Right?
I was going to. 3-peat guess, you understand. I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure this was a punishment because he's Dusty's kid. Because that's how this goes every fucking time. So no, good call, Kennedy. See, you're starting to understand the brainworm. One with the brainworm. So Goldust does his inward inhale thing, and then Warrior like hawks a loogie grunt in response. This is cinema. I mean, come on, like what the fuck? So like,
yeah, Warrior's making like
he does this like, thing where he.
Like System of a Down noises or something.
Yeah, you know, he's got like he's down with the sickness. Yes, he's disturbed. Like he makes a sound that every time he does it, it just makes me cringe because it's the same sound my dad would make before he would like hock a loogie, and I'm like, can you just not do that, Jim? If you could please cut it out.
Familiar behavior from the Ultimate Warrior.
What I love about it is that he like. There's an instance of this. So, like, Goldust, he comes out, and he's like, come out and play Warriors 1979. I was like, all right, fuck yeah. So after a bit of a homoerotic good time, Warrior says, hold it right there, freak. And, like, just goes off on him. Goldust says, maybe you can be Superman. And Warrior, like, pummels his chest like King Kong. And, like, Goldust gets this look on his face like he is confused and confounded because this guy is being the weird one. And, like, that's the moment where I was like,
he's, like, struggling to out-weird this guy so hard. Like before when I've seen Goldust paired up against, I think Razor Ramon.
Yeah.
And Razor Ramon is, like, he's a serious, cool guy.
Machismo.
He's like, I take myself seriously, and I don't mess around. I'm here to bust some heads, and I'm not here to crack a bunch of jokes kind of guy, you know? And so, like, pairing that up with Goldust, like, was, like, working a lot better in some ways, although not to say that this didn't work in its own unique way, but just that, like, you know, like, that was a more, of course, like, that formula made sense. Like, yeah, Goldust is getting under the cool guy's skin, but then it's, like, here it's, like, Goldust is, like, hey daddy, wanna come over to my place? And the Warrior's like, you're just like okay, like
exactly. He's doing his. I like it when Singer go black.
The Warriors out here going, Uber stank.
Yeah. God damn it. But yeah, no, to me, that's the genius of Goldust is that he, like, looks confused and freaked out by this guy. And everyone's cheering this guy for being, like, the alpha macho guy. And Goldust is like, wow, that's fucking weird. And I'm like, yeah, see, he gets it. He gets me. So Warrior says, hey, I know you're queer, but fuck you. And I'm not into that shit. And he actually says shit. So, like, that's 1996. I don't know if South Park did the episode yet. where they made a big deal about saying shit on TV, but they said shit on TV and the crowd goes nuts and Vince looks very pleased with himself. It's not live though, so I'm sure they bleeped it and he's like, that's how we got away with it. We're gonna say shit. So, whatever. Yeah. And Warrior then, says some more queerphobic gibberish and it's whatever.
And as I understand it, the Warrior only lasts like a couple of months back on the WWF.
No, this is not going to last long. Like that's another thing. Like they're building this up for, I think, the next In Your House. And it's just like, okay, sure. Like he came back at WrestleMania and he squashed Triple Paul. And that was fun and good because fuck trips. And now what do you do with them? Because, like, it's just, it's Warrior. So they're going to give him, it makes sense. What do you do with Ultimate Warrior? You give him the Intercontinental title belt because he looks good with a belt. Looking at me, so shiny. So that, I'm guessing that's what they're going to do. And it just, I don't know if they actually pull the trigger, because I don't know if, I feel like by the time we get to this next pay-per-view, Kennedy, he's already going to have done something wrong. Like, he's already going to be on his shit list. So, like, I don't know. I'm kind of excited to get to this pay-per-view and see if this match even happens. But there you go. Woo. Ultimate Warrior's back. They gave him the queer. This ought to be fun.
Wow. Yeah. I don't even know what to say about all that. Then we had our good friend, the Triple.
Triple Ball.
the trips.
The Trips. And he continues his class warfare.
Against a guy whose gimmick is wearing a back brace? Question mark?
Yeah, he's blue collar. He protects his back. I think that's what blue collar people do, right? They protect their back.
Like some of the better WWF jobbers, this guy clearly knew what to do. The match was pretty solid.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
not the best wrestler all the time, but seemed to be bringing some energy to this, and
he's getting better. I will give him that. And Duke the Dumpster DeRossi, it's just so funny.
Yeah, I was gonna say, being paired up against like a really reliable jobber like that, who like clearly has practiced
like people give
100 moves this week. You know what I mean?
I was gonna say, like, people give him shit because he's the trash guy gimmick, but like, he's a hell of a wrestler. This confirms to me. I've seen a couple matches with him now because they've done the Working Class Must Pay. They've done this a couple times now. So
I also saw the
pig farmer, I believe.
The pig farm one, yeah.
Yeah, first he went for the farmers, now he's going for the sanitation workers. And this was better than the pig farmer. Well, I was like, this guy got just a shit gimmick. He looks great here. Like, this match is worth checking out. Which I feel weird saying that about Duke the Dumpster DeRossi match, but like, fuck, dude. Like, this is really good, actually. But that's all I got really to say about that. That was pretty good. Also, the fact that commentary, pointed out because it's attitudinal. They make a point to talk about Sonny's boobs on the TV Guide channel, which was kind of funny to me because, like, I actually used to watch the TV Guide channel because of the fact that they would show the wrestling pre-show. Even though I couldn't get the pay-per-view, I could watch the dark matches and shit because it was on the TV Guide channel. That is a thing they did. So, like, they have to say it, and Vince tries to make it less scandalous by saying that Mr. Perfect is talking about her slammies because she won two of them. One for best manager and one for best buns, because that's better, right? Right? less scandalous. There were signs. I fucking hate this man. So anyways, Trips gets the pedigree eventually, and that's that. Boo. Because you can't kick out of that unless you're Warrior.
But this is interesting now because it's like we've had two for two pretty good wrestling matches.
Right?
Which is strange.
Because Vince hates wrestling, and everyone watching this show, they must hate wrestling, right? So instead of Ahmed Johnson and Davey Boy Smith wrestling, because everyone hates that, they're going to arm wrestle.
This was amusing, but it also felt like, I'm not here for a fucking arm wrestling match. What the fuck are you talking about? However, this whole thing was saved. This could have been a dumpster fire, but it was saved by our friend. Friend of the show, Owen Hart.
Oh, you can't see it, but I'm like saluting. Dearly Owen departed.
Hart saves this.
Is why he is beloved. He is out here to be Bulldog's Flava Flav. And he is, best part of the whole segment. First, he complains that Ahmed is too oily, so it's unfair.
Yeah, he has all these weird complaints. He keeps stopping the match before it starts.
He makes Ahmed wipe his arm off on the ref. Yeah.
The ref starts to get mad at him. Eventually, a couple more refs show up so they can kick him out. It's a whole thing. It really, you know, it
he was the funniest wrestler of all time,
something
too.
That would not be that exciting otherwise. And also the I don't know if that was really his wife or what, but the Bulldog's wife, she sells it in this whole thing.
She just continues to they cut to her a few times and she just has this look like, is this like, this is fucked up, right, guys? Like, this is. We're doing
well. But at first she looks, you know, when he comes out, she's like, oh yeah, she looks proud and all that. And then later on, she looks a little like, oh no, like, you know, and it's
like,
just like,
what are they thinking? Like, this
and the commentators are like, oh, his wife even looks horrified with what he's doing. And it was just like, okay, that's good. That's a good bit.
Yeah, she's horrified by what he's doing because she comes from like a dynasty of a professional wrestling family. And you got her wrestler husband doing this bullshit, Vince. Yeah, she's fucking terrified. So like eventually, Owen gets tossed out. The people freak out because nothing has changed. The crowd still loves when you get a year out of here bit. They finally do the thing, and like Ahmed wins eventually, while Mr. Perfect does the heel commentator role and says that he cheated. Of course.
Yeah. And I liked how they handled that whole thing.
They kind of stretch it out, and they made it, you know, they tried, got some interesting camera angles, made it like make you really see the struggle of it. I could give them that. I'll give them that. Yeah, fine.
By the time they had built it up with Owen Hart's incredible performance, you kind of wanted to see it. They didn't make it last too long. They put a little drama into it, and then it's over, and Ahmed Johnson wins, and then the British Bulldog has a tantrum and
naturally
beats the shit out of him.
Right, and immediately he sets the table up in the corner for like a table spot and hits him with a chair, and I was like, ooh. A table spot in WWF at this point is a newish concept, but sure enough, they fuck it up. I don't know if I've ever shown you Botchamania, but there's a concept of the table not breaking because I am the table. And this is April 8th, 1996 Raw is an I Am the Table episode of Raw because he tries twice to throw Ahmed through this table in the corner. It's a spot we all know and love, right? And it's not fucking breaking. Like, it's just so, like, finally, Davey says, fuck it. He picks the whole table up and just drops it on him, just starts hitting him with the table and then jumping and stopping on it to, like, squash. And the thing that got me the whole time is because we were talking about how great Owen was, and he's like, fucking, you gotta wipe your arm off on the ref. You're too oily. At one point, they show the table, and the table is just shiny. Just slick with it from both of them.
Such an oily table, like the oiliest table I've ever seen, and I've worked in restaurants.
Yeah, right. That's a safety hazard.
I've worked in gross restaurants. Yeah.
So, like, again, Owen was right. Owen Hart did nothing wrong. You were right.
oily table. I did appreciate, you know, you could see they must have had planned this as a plan B because like the jump onto the table move was very clearly rehearsed by both of them.
Yeah, like if this fucks up, we're just gonna do this instead. Like, this is a good backup. Or they could have called it too, but like
they might have just also practiced that move separately, maybe even for another reason, and then they just did an audible, you know? Like,
it definitely worked out. Yeah, I was like, no, that definitely looks like it hurt.
Yeah, it's a cool looking move. You know, if you look closely, you can see the Bulldog is jumping onto the part of the table that, you know, is
doesn't
not
actually hit him.
Yeah, is not on top of Ahmed Johnson.
So, like, as I was watching, I was like, that probably just feels like you're getting, like, a littlest hug from the table every time he jumps on. I was like, that's probably nice. except for all the oil.
Some of the things look like they truly hurt. That one you could tell was like actually like, oh no, this is just a move they've got down.
Yeah, this is just a thing. Just sit there and act like this is devastating, please. Oh my god. Just
slap the mat a little bit every time, you know, and really play it up. And so that was a fun one. I feel like every time I've seen Ahmed Johnson, he's getting like shafted by some heel, basically.
Yeah.
He's like a face that's almost a jobber, though.
Yeah, kind of.
He seems to exist to help heels boost their way up the ranks to some extent.
Yeah, because he had Double J. Yeah, like they keep putting. Yeah, no, you're right. They put him in these situations where he should, like, they're pushing him away, but not pushing. It's like they're pushing him without pushing him. Because, like, how could you not push the guy? Look at him. Like, he's got everything. He's
clearly super strong, super built. And so, like, whenever, like, these people get these cheaty wins on him, like, you don't have to feel like, sometimes with the cheaty wins, you almost feel like, yeah, whatever, like, he was maybe going to win anyway. But, like, when these guys cheat over Ahmed Johnson, it's like, no, Ahmed Johnson would have won! Like,
that guy's a beast, look at him, like, exactly.
He's built as fuck. What are you talking about?
Yeah. That dude is
he hardly ever says anything.
He has titties. Did you see those titties? He just
glowers at the fucking camera most of the time. And then every now and again, he'll just say like some crazy shit for like 20 seconds.
and then continue on his way. So yeah. Oh God. I love Ahmed Johnson, but you're right. You keep seeing him in the worst fucking they've already decided they don't know how to book them because they don't know how to book black guys because they're racist, basically.
Yeah, I could see that pretty easily.
It's a problem that they're still having at the company today.
Yeah. And then we rounded out with something special.
Something special for you folks. Just to really, really make you miss Nitro. We come back for commercial and back to actual wrestling. But yeah, main event, everything's like, okay, yeah, cool, actual wrestling. But first Diesel has to come out to do the commentary booth, and already I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't actually going to be about wrestling, is it? So Kevin Nash, the guy who answers the question, what if a 7 foot tall dude was really high all the time? And that's it. That's Big Kev, baby.
I think you mean a 6'8".
I will say this. I'm pretty sure Big Kev is a solid 7 feet.
He's like 6'10", 6'11", I bet.
You can't now.
You can't convince me, especially not after some of the shit. I've been looking at like the wrestling wikis and shit,
oh yeah, you know, like cage side or cage match or whatever. Yeah,
the shit that they write down for these dudes' heights and weights and stuff, and it's like, man, like I know some of these dudes is real big, but like there's like four people in the world that are 7'2" or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And most of them are wrestlers. I'll give them that. But yeah,
okay, I will give it that. Yeah, like, you know, there are a few of them that are wrestling, so you have to admit. I mean, like, you know, you think back to like Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, people talk about like seeing him in the ring and it's like, you were spooked, man. You know?
What's crazy, right? Because he's just huge. You can't not be freaked out. But what's even really like crazier about Andre is the times that the most of us, like on the national scale, saw Andre, by the time we saw him, he was already like hurting and couldn't go like he used to. What's really wild
the people
is when you
that saw
out
him
Andre
in the ring
in Japan. Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you see him like actually work in Japan, that shit is terrifying because he's still that big, but he moves like Paul White does, like the Giant in Nitro does. Like he's still tall and big, but he can like fly basically. So like that's the craziest shit is people go on YouTube while we're still allowed to have it and check out Andre the Giant in fucking Japan. That shit is wild. But yeah, no, so Diesel has to come out because this wrestling can't be about wrestling. And honestly, I don't want it to be because it's Shawn Michaels versus Jerry the King Lawler.
Yeah, yeah, that. Yeah. We the girls are freaking out right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Jerry Lawler in the doghouse this week or something? He doesn't even get like an intro.
No, they're just everyone's. He got the jobber intro. Holy shit, I didn't even realize they gave him the jobber intro. Holy shit.
They gave him the jobber intro. He didn't get to wear his crown at all. I think he was also getting punished this week.
Oh, I could look into that. I like to think so. I hope so. Punished Lawler is best Lawler. But yeah, they're basically here they're here so that they can set up Diesel and Sean. So, like, Lawler, it's like, go in there and get your ass.
Also, Sean gets a outrageous intro. Some very heterosexual entertainment.
Up to and including non-consensual kissing of people in the crowds. Like,
yeah.
You're going to get mono, my dude.
Leathery tassels. Ripping for the audience. There was this kid in the audience. I don't know if you noticed this, but there was this kid in this, like, striped green shirt who just was slack-jawed watching Shawn Michaels do his strip tease to the Sexy Man song. and his dad looks at him, this kid, with this look of like
oh no,
is something being discovered here? Because it clearly is. And what's crazy is that even once the wrestling starts, it cuts back later, and the kid is still fucking starry-eyed and slack-jawed watching Shawn fucking Michaels.
Oh, like, my God, that poor fucking kid. Like, I mean, I had some weird sexual awakenings, but Shawn Michaels, no, not even I got that bad. That was more that gendery. Hairy. Look at that hair. Ooh. Oh, my God, he was so 90s. That guy, like pretty boy, like proto metrosexual. That's what he wanted to be, I think. Which says
weird.
A lot.
Vincent, my taste, but yeah. Holy shit, are they fucking playing it up? And yeah, extremely heterosexual entertainment for heterosexuals.
Yeah.
And then Jerry Lawler just kind of gets rolled into the ring from the side.
Jesus Christ.
Like they had him rolled up in a rug. He's just like, okay, I'm in the ring now.
Get in now, there and go do your bits.
You have to give him this. Jerry Lawler, very good at the in-ring bits.
It's his whole thing. Yeah. And he does a whole thing.
But you have to, you know. It's on the one hand, yeah, it's this whole thing, but on the other hand, there are other people trying to do this in wrestling in this era, and they are not succeeding.
Not as good, yeah, and it sucks. It sucks that he has to be, you know, Jerry Lawler about it, but like, because like, he is good at this. Okay,
here's the thing: Jerry Lawler should just be a choreographer.
Yeah,
like he is a master of physical comedy, and he's pretty good at wrestling.
Yeah, no, and that's why he had the career that he did. You know, like you can't say he was bad at it.
But when they start giving him a microphone, holy shit, dude, the whole thing goes downhill. If Jerry Lawler had just choreographed fights
and not been on commentary
not been a commentator, it would have been a more beautiful world.
It really would. My life would have been better. Because it's bad enough that we have Vince. But thankfully, we have Mr. Perfect as well, who, again, holy shit, does he take the Bobby Heenan bit. This, I swear to God, this is an actual Bobby Heenan bit that I've heard Bobby Heenan do. So at some point in this match, Perfect says Sean's up by 2 points. He has the scorecard. Vince says, I see. I'm like, fuck yes. That is literally.
No, he actually says that it's the other way around. He says that Jerry's up by two points.
All right, that makes more sense because he's the heel. No, that's literally a Bobby Heenan bit. And I was like, fuck yeah. God damn it. All right, so no Nitro, but we still got Bobby. Thank you, Mr. Perfect. I'm so proud of my wrestle boys that came from Minneapolis. I'm so proud of all of them.
That bit cracked me up. Just like, well, this is the first time you've ever mentioned points in all the wrestling I've ever watched. But sure, yeah, I totally believe you.
Yeah, exactly. You're not making this shit up.
You're not making this shit up. You would never.
You would never. There's very little going on here. Lawler does his whole hidden weapon in the hand thing, blah, blah, blah. It's a bullshit match that's here.
Yeah, Dan, if anything didn't work, it was that, honestly.
It really didn't. It was like he was just doing all of... He was literally just doing all of his things, and it literally was like, it's clownish. But it's like, great. You can see he's like playing to the crowd. I'm like, okay, he's a circus clown. Like, they're just circus clowning. But Diesel's just here to talk shit. Like,
I just feel like it was just like, he must have done something to piss Vince off.
Maybe.
And Vince was like, you know, in your contract, I could still make you wrestle. Yeah. So you're wrestling this week. And, whatever. And so then Jerry Lawler was like, okay, fuck it. I haven't wrestled in a while. I'm going to do all my bits. And so mostly it worked, and then a few of them less so, because again, he's just kind of going for the grab bag here. And it's not really like there's new bits. It's just, here's my bits. But it was fun. It was fun in a lot of ways.
Oh, God.
It falls apart towards the end.
That was going to be a dark joke, Eric. Jesus Christ.
Shawn Michaels. Oh, go ahead.
No, you should stop me. I was going to say, there's one thing that Jerry loves to do. It's to show people that didn't consent to it his bits.
Unbelievable. Shawn Michaels, he's just doing fine.
Mm-hmm. He's doing okay. He's hanging in there. Sometimes he's literally hanging out, like laying, doing the thing where he lays across the top of the ropes, just being a sexy boy like you do, and like, okay. This match goes on for like 12 minutes, which is fucking gross. Like, it is gross that this went on for 12 fucking minutes. Like, this should have been a squash match. This shouldn't have been a 12-minute... Why? In no world should we be giving Jerry Lawler 12 minutes of airtime in a fucking ring, like, in 1996, or if ever.
It has to be a punishment.
It has to be, because thankfully, at the end of it, Jerry Lawler...
If you tell Jerry Lawler at this time, 12 minutes in the ring, that's cruelty to a man who is reaching his age and physical fitness level that he was at around that time.
It's like, I'm going to have two Coca-Colas before this. Jesus Christ. But thankfully, it is punishment, because the whole thing ends with Sean like kicking his fucking head off. It's so good.
Like 20 years older than Shawn Michaels.
At least.
And hasn't seen a gym in 6 months.
Nope. Why? Clowns don't go to the gym. Jerry Lawler's a fucking clown. A clown without his head after Sean kicks it off. And then, there we go. Woo. But yeah, then thankfully, after all that's done, we can get to the whole fucking point of this, besides Jerry being punished Jerry, apparently. In that Diesel and Mr. Perfect, of all people, jump Sean and beat the shit out of him. And then Big Kev does his big teabag where he lays the belt over Sean's corpse and straddles his face and puts his fist in the air. And like, that's a way to end a show. Woot.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that, all of that. That's the thing. Like, we could say so much about this match, but all of it was just there to set up the next pay-per-view. And it's so gross to me, because like, there was good things in this show. That main event was not one of them. it was gross.
And yet, even this main event, not the worst wrestling you've made me watch.
Thank you. Thank you.
Interesting part of all this is, again, I'm starting to see how Raw could have won the Monday Night War finally,
which is terrifying. I'm really truly warping your brain that you're starting to see how it could make sense.
Yeah, I don't like that it's starting to make sense. But it's starting to make sense, because this was overall a pretty solid episode of wrestling. It went by pretty quick for the most part.
It did.
I didn't feel like I had to just look at my phone a ton to get through it.
No, it this was not a chore of a raw, which is saying something. Like,
of course, because we are the femmes, I was a little disappointed that there was no femme wrestling this time.
Yeah,
to speak of. Not even a Gold Dust.
Not even a wrestle. Yeah, we didn't even get Gold Dust wrestling. So, like, that was point. That was kind of sad. You have shown up. You're like, I also spoiled you. You like got like girls wrestling in 1996 at least once on a previous guest spot, and that was like, that don't happen very often. So, like, you lucked out there. I don't know if you have a favorite match of the week, but my match of the week was Davey Boy Smith versus the Table.
Yeah, the oil versus the table.
The oil versus the table.
I think my match of the week would probably have to be when Vader attacks Yokozuna's leg for the like third time.
Third time in the ambulance. Yeah, that's a good one. And that leads us to who won this week, which you know.
But actually, you know, wait. I have to give the last shit post the answer to, which is I actually think low key Triple H and the dumpster.
I was gonna say if we're gonna do a not shit post the answer, then fine. I guess I'll give it to the class war. And like that was actually a really good match. And again, anything that has like I've been told my whole life in fandom to not take Duke the Dumpster Drossi seriously and to mock him. And mock him mercilessly. Like, fuck this guy. But I don't know. Every match that I've gotten to see him actually wrestle in, I think he's kind of good. And I'm sort of mad now that, like, we didn't get more from him. And then, yeah, as far as who won this week, it's only shitposty answers because there was no Nitro. So I'm going to say the queer community because we are alive and Ultimate Warrior is dead. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and I'm going to say the ultimate loser this week is NCAA Charlie Baker, who lives at... I'm not going to do it again.
Holy shit, that's fucking amazing. Yeah, that's some stuff. That's the stuff that happened.
But yeah, no. Obviously, yeah, there's no... winning or losing between Raw and Nitro this week. But I also just want to say, I think Raw won regardless.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Nitro wasn't that good.
Well, I mean, so, like, they did not have a Nitro this week, right?
Yeah, they was preempted by something, so they just won Nitro this week.
So that means that Raw definitely won. And that's not to say, okay, there could be a week where Raw could air and Nitro could not air, and Raw could lose.
It's happened before. Raw.
Raw could definitely just stumble into its own horse shit easily.
I mean, hell, Nitro lost to the Westminster Dog Show one time. We've had an interesting show.
that's wild. I think that you have to give it to Raw here in terms of if there was no Nitro this week.
They really went hard.
And in 1996, and you're like, fuck, no Nitro this week. This is bullshit. Well, at least I got Raw. And then you watch this, you'd come out of it, like, probably pretty satisfied. Like,
yeah, I would not have felt cheated at all. Like, I will say that. Like, again, not shit. You're making me be not shitposty. How dare you, Kennedy? No, it was a very good Raw. Like, it was a very good Raw, which is... not something that there's been many of so far.
no weird chaos matches that you can't understand.
Yeah, no, there wasn't a lot of fuckery. The fuckery that there was straightforward. It was Cornette, you know, holding Yoko's leg to get broken. Like, that's some good old-fashioned fuckery. It wasn't sports entertainment fuckery. Like, and I can't stress enough, not having Jerry Lawler in my ear the whole time made such a difference. Like, Mr. Perfect was a great Bobby Heenan stand-in, and I wish we would have gotten more of him. Rest in peace, Kurt Hennig.
I think the only thing I'm disappointed by is that I didn't get to see Mankind wrestle.
You didn't. You got a tease about Mankind coming out last week. Yep. All right. Well, you'll have to be our first, the show's first four-peat, and I'll get you on for a McFoley.
A Mankind, I just want to say, that's one of my favorite wrestler names.
Right?
Just love that as a wrestler name, Mankind.
Oh, God. What? Oh, my God. Mason the Mutilator. All right. Yeah. Mason the Mutilator is what Vince wanted to call him. And he's like, what about, like, Mankind? Yeah, I'm like, all right, I can see that Mankind, like, because it's a double entendre. There's nothing Vince loves more than, like, a pun, you know? So it's like, you could say he's, you know, like, beating on man, or, like, Mankind is broken, you know? Like, it's like, makes it sound more fucking epic. So, like...
Yeah, I like that name, and I also, I'm kind of into this, like... horror era of wrestling that's starting to emerge here at this time.
They're leaning into it a little more.
Takes over in the late 90s for a while.
Yeah, when you get like the Ministry of Darkness and shit. Like, yeah, when like Undertaker gets real freaky with it before he becomes the American badass bullshit biker bitch fucker. Hate him. Fuck the Undertaker. Sorry, I can't do a whole show without saying that, apparently. Ever since I went on Hate Speech, it's just like, and he keeps doing shit that pisses me off. That's a whole other show. I gotta go back on that show and do Undertaker hate from 2001 to present, because we, like, didn't even really get that far.
Wow.
Yeah, right? Like, there's more. But,
it sucks
again,
because Undertaker in his best moments
is great.
Super fun.
Yeah. I loved him when I was a kid.
Watch in wrestling, his whole aesthetic is great.
I like the more theatrical, like you said, like the horror spooky shit. Like, also, like, why I loved Bray Wyatt so much was that, like, he really, I felt like Bray really was the first, because like they've tried to do things to like make a play off the Undertaker because it's like, obviously this guy's gonna get old and we need a new taker, you know? And like, the only one that ever really worked for me was Bray Wyatt. Like, Bray really felt like he got it. And he was also, Bray used the mandible claw. Bray Wyatt was like, what happened if Mankind and Undertaker fused and their dad was Mike Rotunda? And like that's fucking awesome, because like that's my favorite feud. We talked about it last week. Mankind and Undertaker is probably my favorite feud of my childhood, and he just was both. So yeah, no, I hate the Undertaker, but I love what he brought, you know.
And the fact that Undertaker seems so unbeatable in a certain way, like they made him beatable in a way, but he had that special quality of, you know, in certain venues, he like basically never.
Yeah, like Streak at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So like, if the timing is right, he literally has like special powers that you cannot beat him because it's WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of interesting, because it worked well with this like character of like, you know, he's the Undertaker. He's this character from the world of death, and he'll, you know, if anyone gets too cocky in the wrestling world, then this guy shows up and puts you in a casket. Like, that's awesome. Why did he have to ruin that, you know?
Yeah, he's a walking memento mori. Yeah, like, you too will get tombstone pile drivered. Like, fucking... well, hell yeah.
Yes, all I can say to really conclude all of that is, you know, the tragedy of being a professional wrestler is that eventually you just get too old to really keep up with
everyone else,
that kind of lifestyle. And then holy, it's like, shit, what do you do as you start to age out, become such a thing? And there's just no way around it, because it's so brutal on the body. Like, it's just not a, you know, there's nothing.
It's not something you can do. Yeah, it's not something you can do forever, especially if you're doing it like he was doing it and like they did back in the olden times, you know. Like they just beat the shit out of themselves. But yeah, no, yeah, solid point. But thank you for being the second three-peat guest, Kennedy. Hell yeah. We love the way it worked out.
I'm glad it worked out, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it worked out because I thought it would be nice to have you on because of the new thing. Promote the thing. Tell the people where to find you and hear you and the things you do. Tell them.
I have a new podcast and it's called The Most Important Election of Our Lives. And it's a podcast about fiction and politics and
voting
and voting often and voting early. We ask our friends to tell us about things that they like, and then we tie them to political topics in ways that you'd never expect. Ever.
as the person who edits the show, I can attest, yes, I've been surprised on multiple occasions going, oh my god, all right, I never would have thought about that. But needless to say, Kennedy and the people at the Most Important Election of Our Lives are there to think about it for you. Thoughts,
yeah, so thoughts check it out.
Believe
where you find podcasts, etc.,
etc., etc. Well, thank you very much. Excedrin. Yes, I'm going to need one after Ultimate Warrior talk. Anything else? Or find you on the blue skies. There's the worst week yet. You do so many things. Find Kennedy.
Yeah. Post worst it. Week yet.
Find Kennedy. Look at anything.
They're good. It's good people. We're good people. Bye.
Oh, my God. That's funny. Holy shit. Yeah, I've run out too many things. It's good. Bye. Well, thank you.
I just want to say I've peeked at a little bit of that new Netflix sponsored Raw.
Oh yeah. I have not.
It's bad. Like this air that we're talking about right now, they're completely hung up on it and they can't move past it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Cause like everyone who's in charge is Attitude Era kids, and like that sucks. All right, eventually I'll have to watch it. I don't want to, but I will. I watched the Royal Rumble, and I was like, okay, it was all right.
Can. yeah, it's like I say, they're hung up on that you know previous era of wrestling, and so it's like they're just bringing out The Rock and The Undertaker makes an appearance, but they all look like shit now.
Yeah. Like none of them have held up. But that's not fair though. You know who has held up and made a point, a promo about it on Wednesday that was fucking awesome? Gold Dust. Dustin Rhodes is going to be wrestling on Wednesday, and he had a promo last Wednesday where he's like, I am literally the last of my kind, motherfucker. When I die, the mold breaks. And I was like, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, Dustin. Like, fuck yeah. Because he is. He's the last one. Like, him and Jeff Jarrett are like the last two that I could think of who are like really working pretty regularly and like not fucking themselves up doing it. It's pretty great. Like, all these other assholes can't wrestle anymore or they're dead. Ha ha. That's how I feel about that.
it's something with this whole situation. I'm not saying all the old dogs don't have it entirely. Like some of them aren't so old or have, you know, been lucky or really taken care of themselves or some combination, you know. But it just feels like, do they have new guys that they're gonna like make cool? Like,
and they have a lot of guys that they could do that with, but they just, these other guys keep showing up and like inserting themselves. And it's like, I'm sorry, I don't care about The Rock anymore. Like, I just don't. Like, I just don't fucking care. So, like, whatever. And I'm like, I'm sitting here like, I can't be too side about that because AEW does that shit all the time. But when they do it, it's guys that can still go, like Dustin, like and Jeff Jarrett, and like fucking Edge, like Copeland, and like all these guys are like, yeah, they're bringing back these older dudes that we love, but they could still work, and they don't have to work for Vince anymore. And it brings like this freedom to their work that you didn't get to see in WWE after a while. And it's really refreshing. Like that's what I wish for everyone. I wish for everyone to get out from under Vince and his whole, and Triple Paul's whole regime, and just get to like, go work some indies, like go remember what it's like to like actually be a wrestler, you know, and like not just do the performance center shit. Like, from my understanding, again, I'm not a wrestler, I'm just a fan, but from my understanding, like the Fed nowadays especially has the way they do things, and that's it, and like they beat the rest of it out of you basically, and it's just not fun anymore. So you get like these old timers who spent 30 years with the company then showing up in AEW going, oh wow, this is fun again. Oh, I remember when this used to be fun. Like, it's just so sad. It's all the, let's let these lost puppies go run upstate with Tony Khan, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, on that,
let them confess to murder on Facebook.
Yeah, like Marty Jannetty, and they'll find their own way. Oh God, always with the Jannetty, you always come back with it. I love that I could give you more Marty Jannetty in your life, but you know, in small chunks.
Did you love that song?
Yeah, I did with the fucking Marty. Holy shit, I was like, you sent me a Wiz Khalifa song. I'm like, what the fuck is a Marty Jannetty reference? I'm like, Jesus Christ. Okay. Of all the things. All right. Well,
Tom's getting dealt with never pop shit. Hit him with the drop kick, Marty Jannetty is one of the hardest lines in all of rap.
Look, Jannetty had a hell of a drop kick. All right. That's a way to end our show. Holy fuck. It don't get better than that. Thank you for hanging out, Kennedy. Thank you, folks, for listening. You can still find us on Blue Sky at mnffpod.bsky.social, fucking Instagram. And if you want to join the Patreon at patreon.com/mnffpod, we do the watch parties. We do other things on occasion. If you go there for $5, it will help me live. Otherwise, we will see you next week for more Raw and Nitro.
Help a girl live.
Yeah, help a girl live now more than ever. Please. We will see you next time for more Raw and Think Fuck Nitro on Monday Night Fake Fights. Okay, bye.
Ghost Coast Studios. Thanks for listening.